All right. Today is April 26, 2020. This is Mary Craig Ministries, and my name is Dr. Mary Craig. Our series is Opening the Eyes of the Blind. This is a teleconference sermon, and the title of it is Time and Opportunity for Two Blind Men. The scriptures come from Matthew 20, verses 29 to 34, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, and Luke 18, verses 35 to 43. So this is a live recording, and let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that he died the death to pay the penalty for sin and satisfied all divine justice, even bearing the wrath of God and bearing the curse and bearing the sin, being that sin offering, giving himself as that offering. And we thank you, Lord, that he rose again from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Almighty as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as ruler over the kings of this earth, the faithful Amen, and the only true God. And so, God, we ask now that you would open, that your Holy Spirit would come to open our minds, to comprehend, to understand, and to perceive. Open our minds, and Lord, open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, meaning Jesus. They were following Jesus. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them, "Be quiet," but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. And that's the account from Matthew 20, verses 29 to 34. Now, Jericho was about 18 miles from Jerusalem. When we read the accounts in Matthew chapter 20, Mark chapter 10, and Luke chapter 18, we have a large crowd of pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem for Passover. One account, however, has the story of Jesus healing on his way, and another has the story with Jesus approaching Jericho. There were two cities named Jericho, the old city in ruins and a new city a mile away. In the new city, Herod the Great and his successors built this lavish winter palace. So with this information, we might have an answer for the discrepancy, and that is a comment by Warren Wiersbe. Some think the two beggars were sitting at the entrance to the new city. And now I want to talk a little bit about beggars in the New Testament. And I'm getting this information from Manners and Customs of the Bible Lands. Manners and Customs of Bible Lands. In New Testament times, beggars were usually the blind, maimed, or diseased. Thus, blind Bartimaeus, according to Mark 10, verse 46, quote, sat by the highway side begging. In Acts chapter 3, verse 2, the impotent man, quote, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, at the temple gate, at the gate of that temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. In Luke 16, the beggar Lazarus who was diseased, was laid at the gate of, quote, a certain rich man, unquote. So what we know is from these accounts in the New Testament times, people in need like this asked alms of those who passed their way. All right, I just wanted to share that. But what we have here is two blind men, beggars, sitting along the roadside. They're sitting along the roadside. One of these two men was Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus. Mark and Luke focus on him. Certainly he was the most vocal. It seems he was speaking for, you know, both of them for the most part. This multitude was passing by, and he wanted to know what it meant. When the two blind men heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by, they were trying to get Jesus' attention, crying out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." The crowd started rebuking them. They should hold their peace and be quiet. The crowd continually rebuked these two men to get them to be silent. But Bartimaeus continually cried out, calling Jesus Lord, which signified that Bartimaeus was acknowledging Jesus as a person exercising absolute ownership rights. The two blind men cried out all the more, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." This was an opportunity, and there was a determination not to miss it. The Anointed One was so close. Forget the rebuke of the crowd. Cry out to the one who heals the blind. Jesus is referred to as Lord, an acknowledgement that their destiny was in his hands. They cry out for mercy, addressing Jesus as Son of David. So this reminds us of the Davidic covenant and Isaiah 55. Because they use a messianic title, many think these two men were Jewish. They might also have been familiar with Isaiah 35, verse 5, and even passages like Luke 4, verse 18, quoting Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." But I want to read all of Isaiah 55, 1 to 7. It does apply here because of the way they cried out to Jesus as Son of David. And we think of the Davidic covenant. And as I read this, I want you to listen for when it talks about the sure mercies of David. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come. Buy and eat, yes, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That was from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 7. Jesus stood still. Now, this is important. Jesus stood still. He stopped. He commanded Bartimaeus to be called. So they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calls you." Bartimaeus does something significant next. He casts away his garment and gets up. He threw off his garment. He jumped. He sprang into action. That garment signified his blindness and poor beggarly condition. His springing into action to get to Jesus revealed the intensity of his desire to be healed. So Jesus commanded Bartimaeus to be brought unto him. He came to Jesus. Jesus asked a question. What will you that I shall do unto you? The point is, if we're going to cry for Jesus' attention, we'd better be prepared to answer this question. Both of these two men wanted their eyes opened to receive sight. They were sightless and they wanted to receive sight. Again, Bartimaeus reportedly calls Jesus Lord. So Jesus commands it. Matthew 20's version tells us Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. This kind of touch changes, modifies, and makes an impact. Receive your sight, Jesus commanded. Then, Jesus says, your faith has saved you. And immediately their eyes received sight. They were sightless and now they received sight. They could see. What happened next? They followed Jesus in the way. They glorified God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now, these people, you know, they were all saying, stop, you know, be quiet, stop calling out. But now that these two men are healed and receive their sight, all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Jesus had asked the same question in Mark 10, verse 36, of James, John, and Salome. Jesus knew here, but most likely Jesus gave the blind man opportunity to express himself. Not only was blind Bartimaeus certain of what he wanted, but in casting off the garment of blindness, he stepped forward into his future. This was his taking a step of faith. If you walk into it, you take a step of faith. And that's what this is all about. His step of faith was that he cast off the garment of blindness. And that indicated that he believed that Jesus had the power to do something. Jesus had asked him that question, what will you that I should do unto you? And he wanted to receive his sight. And it happened. After he cast off the garment of blindness, he stepped forward into his future. Look at this. In Mark's account, the word Bartimaeus called Jesus was the title Rabboni in Greek. It means my master. Son of David that is used is a messianic title. Rabboni expresses a personal faith. It's basically a title of respect. A title of respect. Bartimaeus and his fellow beggar went from the state of being blind and thus beggars to the state of being healed. They had to receive their sight. And that's an important point. They had to receive it. When Jesus commanded it, they had to receive it. And they had to show they believed it by walking in a new way. They walked, that was pointed out when they followed Jesus. Being healed was their new condition. This miracle is the last healing miracle recorded in Mark. Here in Mark we have Jesus Christ, God's suffering servant, on his way to Jerusalem, to the cross. Yet he stops to serve two blind beggars, transforming their lives and enabling them to follow him in the way. And I wondered, did they really realize what that meant? Because Jesus was headed for crucifixion, to the cross, an instrument of death, but also a death that eventually led to resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These men went from darkness to light, casting off darkness to follow Jesus in the way. They went from crying out in their desperate determinism to glorifying and praising God. In Luke 18, the contrast can be seen between the rich young ruler and these two blind beggars. Because these beggars claimed no special merit, made no great swelling words, no bragging about their character, but put their trust in Jesus as he passed by, they became part of the fulfillment of Luke 1, verse 53. Quote, "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." No matter what others say or do, we are to hold to Jesus Christ, laying aside discouragement and desperation by maintaining determination. We need to learn the faithfulness of God and the beauty of his compassion and mercy and grace. The idea is, in spite of, we go forward. We do not carry our burdens alone. And even blind people were dependent. They were dependent. Somebody had to, even when Jesus called these two blind men out, other people had to help them really get to Jesus. They needed help. All these people that need help. It's the same today. Likewise, we need to receive the healing, the life-changing events Jesus is willing to do in us. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. Why did Mark even acknowledge Bartimaeus's coat when he wrote his gospel? Why was that even significant? This coat was very important to Bartimaeus. After all, this was the only way he could survive. This coat was issued by the government. It gave the person who wore it legitimacy. This qualified a person to collect alms. When Bartimaeus discarded this coat, he was making a bold declaration. He was saying that he would no longer need this coat. He would no longer need it. Jesus had come. He was going to be healed. He would no longer be dependent on the government or the help of man. He was becoming dependent upon the Lord. From this day forward, he began to experience the life of God in all the aspects of his life. And some of that comes from, on the internet, thebaileydrink.wordpress.com. Bailey, there is B-A-I-L-E-Y. Instead of daily, he writes Bailey from his name. thebaileydrink.wordpress.com. The beggar's coat. From Gill's commentary, I want to share this. Quote, "These men came to Jesus being led by the persons that were sent to call them. It may be observed from hence that such who are effectually called by the grace of Christ, of which this man was an emblem, hate the garment spotted with the flesh and put off the old man, as to the former conversation, being called by a holy God with a holy calling to holiness in heart and life, and that by the gospel which teaches to deny sin and live a holy conversation, that means way of life, and these also cast away the garment of their own righteousness, it being as fig leaves or a spider's web or as filthy rags and a beggarly robe as this man's was, and come nakedly to Christ for righteousness and renounce their own in point of justification, that being a hindrance to their coming to him for his." The gospel reveals a better righteousness to them than their own, more suitable to them. who are called from the dunghill to sit among princes and to inherit the throne of glory. And then such rise in the strength of grace and come forth to Christ for righteousness, peace, pardon, life, and salvation. And I'm just going to say as an aside, that was from Gill's commentary on Mark chapter 10, that we don't write, this was from a long time ago, the way they used to write. So when you read some of the writings of these commentaries, they are a little more difficult. I don't know at what age level writing is done. It used to be for newspapers years ago, for someone around between ages 10 to 12, just to give you an example, but not a long time ago. Okay, well, let's ask what's in it for us. Number one, Jesus' face is set towards Jerusalem. Nevertheless, he stops. Think of it, many leaders do not stop. They say something like, walk with me, walk with me. Jesus stopped and stood still. He waited for the blind men to reach him. Jesus has compassion. The two blind men were sitting by the wayside. What was all the commotion about? Jesus was passing by. That was what the commotion was about. They cried out for mercy, calling on Jesus as Lord and as Son of David. Jesus came to transform lives. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus had said, which has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He had brought his message to the Jews, to his own, and for the most part he was rejected. But these two blind men were receiving him. They cried out all the more when rebuked by the crowd. Their destiny was in Jesus' hands, and they believed that one touch, one word from him could change the course of that destiny. Bartimaeus threw off the cloak, the garment of beggary, and put himself at the mercy of Jesus Christ. He wanted a change that would take the transformational grace of God, and he got it. Jesus gives his full attention when we have his attention. When we have Jesus' attention, Jesus gives his full attention. We must be prepared to step into the destiny Christ has for us when our time and opportunity comes. It's in the scripture, it's repent and believe. And it is believe and receive. Be ready to walk in newness of life, following Jesus in the way. Jesus has the ability to save, to heal, and to deliver. Jesus' touch transforms, bringing us out of darkness into the light of God's life and truth. For a reason, in order that we might follow the Christ and receive eternal life in him. Clue, little clue, stay humble. Our lives are subject to God's sovereignty. Another thing, keep a right attitude. We are to have, as believers, we are to get to that point where we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ already and not yet. We are growing into that. The Holy Spirit makes that so. Jesus told Bartimaeus that his faith had made him whole. Jesus Christ, God's suffering servant, on his way to Jerusalem, to the cross, stops to serve two blind beggars, transforming their lives and enabling them to follow him in the way. Think about this. But Jesus is determined to go to the cross and die as the sin offering in our place instead. Who will follow the Christ? Who will follow the Lamb? Jesus fulfills the Word of God. His name is Word of God. He is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Claim no special merit. Make no great swelling words. And let there be no bragging about our character. But let us put our trust in Jesus as he passes by. And a final little comment here. Hold to Jesus Christ who holds all things together. No matter what others say or do to discourage us from faith in Jesus Christ alone, and believe me, right now, we're seeing a growing persecution of Christians, here in the U.S. and around the world. We are seeing this growing persecution and people trying to discourage us from faith in Jesus Christ alone. We must maintain determination by learning the faithfulness of God and the beauty of his compassion, mercy, and grace. Because it is like this, if God, the living God, is for us, who can be against us? And now because this, I think we have some time here, and now because this is the last in our series of opening the eyes of the blind, I want to pray this prayer. It's a little bit long, but as we pray it, I want you to be joining in this prayer in the sense to join in to pray for those in your family, those in the body of Christ. Pray for, you know, people come to churches. People come where you work. They're out there. Whatever kind of job you have, God has a ministry for you and for me to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's doing this now. He is opening the eyes of the blind. Maybe some physically, but particularly spiritually. This is the time. And so as we pray this, I pray that you will join in to pray for people to come to Christ right now. I believe we are in such a time. People, this isolation that we're in with COVID-19, and people have a lot of extra time. This is different for them. Sometimes people don't turn to the Lord or even look to the Lord or even pray unless we're in difficult times. This is global. We've had pandemics before, but I don't know. This is the only one that I've ever heard or read about that has touched 184 nations. I mean, it truly is a pandemic. And people are at the point where they are thinking. And they are turning to God, and we want to pray for that. I've had this assignment, I think since last June, June of 2019. All right, let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for Jesus Christ, whom you sent. In him is life, and the life is the light of all people. We come to intercede for the blind and for those whose minds are darkened. We command the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine into the darkness. You are the Lord our God who has brought us out of deep darkness and through waters that have not overwhelmed us. You call us by your name, a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You are the one we exalt, and we are those whom you have chosen before the foundation of the world to be yours, being bought with a price and not our own, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the atoning work of Jesus Christ. You have put within us your Holy Spirit. We pray that your people, the people, the sheep of your pasture, will follow the Christ, follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Your people stray. Their ears grow dull, and they listen to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils, which grieves your Holy Spirit. We pray that repentance comes, that your people may turn from their wicked ways, that you might heal them. We pray that the veil be removed, that veil which lies in the heart, that veil which is spread over all nations, that veil which covers and hides the gospel to those who are perishing, that veil which is taken away in Christ, taken away when one turns to the Lord. We call in the elect that they may have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that hope, that blessed hope, that they might enter the presence behind the veil. The blind are leading the blind. They are headed for the cliff. They will bring devouring and destruction, for wisdom and the light of life are far from them. Yet the Lord is coming, and every eye will see him. Nothing is hid from your eyes, O Lord. We come interceding for those suffering the bondage of blindness, asking that you send your servants into dark places to break the bondage of blindness. People go through rituals. They go through motions, but their hearts are far away from you, Lord God. They do not understand. Some are totally blind. Some see on the periphery. Some barely see, for their eyesight is clouded over. Some have poor vision. Their blindness binds. May the eyes of the blind be opened. May the eyes of the minds understand, comprehend, and perceive. And may the eyes of hearts receive. The people draw near with their mouth and with their lips do honor you, but their hearts are removed far from you, and their fear towards you is taught by the precept of men. Yet you will proceed to do a marvelous work among your people, and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent shall be hid. Yet you promise a fruitful field as a forest, as we are clay in your hands. Quote, in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine, unquote. That is from Isaiah chapter 29, verses 18, 19, and 24. People blind themselves and are blind. Blind because of disobedience, so that they stagger as with intoxicating drink. You say in Psalm 146, verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. You say to them of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Isaiah 35, verse 5. And there's a lot more in Isaiah chapter 35. And so we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And that is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. So, Lord God, we pray, open our eyes, that we may see wondrous things from your law. And, Lord, let us not cease to pray for one another and to pray for others and to ask that we might be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord God, and finally, Lord God, we want to bring before you those who are subject to hallucinations, perverted thinking, crooked sight, those who suffer the effect of altered states of consciousness, impaired vision, lying manifestations, and the like. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Open the eyes of the blind. Lead them in a new and living way. Take the beam out of their eye. Let them see clearly. Sanctify their eyes full of adultery and perversion. You, the Lord, save. And besides you, there is no Savior. So, save, O Lord, we pray. For you are coming for a holy bride, and you will see, and you will sort, and you will sanctify, and you will be our God, and we will be your people. You make to us, those who are in Christ, you make to us this promise. You are the faithful God, and you also will do it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of God, God the Son, King of kings, Lord of lords, ruler over the kings of this earth, sovereign Lord, amen. And now let's stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.